It's a great pity we don't teach children or those new to the faith, the Christian faith, through the formal catechism. I won't take Matt through that, he'll be pleased to know. But the catechism, some of you may know, is a question and answer format and was actually popularized by Martin Luther as a way to help children learn the meaning of the faith, the material comprising the faith, rather than simply memorizing the Lord's Prayer, simply memorizing the Ten Commandments, and memorizing the Apostles' Creed, as had been the practice prior to the Reformation. I think I would have benefited from it in my young days, especially with the first and most famous question of what is known as the Westminster Confession, or Westminster Catechism. What is the chief end of man? Does anyone know? Anyone? What is the chief end of man? To glorify God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Well, that's the first question. There are another 106, which as children you were meant to know all the answers to. And in fact, in the Scottish Church of Scotland, if a child still can answer all 107 questions, they get a free Bible. I mean, the questions are great. Question 2, what rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? The Word of God, contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. Question 3, what do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. Question 4, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And so it goes on. You can Google it. 107 questions of the Westminster Catechism or Westminster Confession. It's worth looking at them because I'm afraid even as some of us as adult, mature Christians might be caught out a couple of times as you go through the 107 questions. But that's what our forefathers believed you needed to know to be a fully functioning Christian. The sad truth is that as Christians, we can be quite self-serving. You see, we can hold on to our faith and come to church because of what we think we gain or get by doing so. Maybe we think by doing so, we get God's protection, God's blessing, God's favor, and freedom from the attacks of the enemy. Now, these are all desirable things. Don't get me wrong. We all want God's protection, God's cover, God's favor, God's blessing. But that's not what being a Christian is about. It's not about getting benefits, although these are real and welcome. Who's going to turn down healing, divine healing, miraculous healing? No, being a Christian is about living out the answer that Pam gave, that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Does it say the chief end of man is to have his needs and desires, his wants and pleasures met? No, He doesn't promise the proverbial rose garden. It says our purpose is to glorify God. And hopefully, Matt will know over time that's what he's entered into, is to glorify God. And what does this mean? Well, to glorify God means to praise, to extol, to exalt, to lord, to worship, to revere, to reverence, to venerate, to pay homage or pay tribute to honor, adore, thank, give thanks to, bless. It's all those things, all the synonyms of glorify. It's putting Him first, giving Him everything we have at our disposals. To glorify God is to do all those things, but focusing them on Him and not on us. It's not about our needs, our desires, but about Him, the Creator God. So coming here today, being here, is not about what I'd like to hear, music-wise, what should be, but about giving God His praise, His honor, his reverence. Everything is about him and not about us. It's important to see this because it enables us to make sense of the message, I believe, that the scriptures reveal to us today. Timely message, I believe, for Matt baptized also. What is that message? That you and I are here in this world to do God's will. And I'm going to ask Sarah to put on that reading from Hebrews again up on the screen. That's our purpose, to do God's will. And if we refuse to do his will, our lives will not produce the fruit for the kingdom that was intended. He's a merciful, that's fine, yeah. He's a merciful, compassionate, loving God. But if we don't do his will as believers, we're likely to spend eternity regretting what might have been. What more could we have done for the kingdom? Even if we're at his side, we will know that there were things we could have done, but because of our disobedience, we didn't do. Our reading from Hebrews tells us that Christ entered the world to do the will of God. Why? God was dissatisfied with the old covenant. That's the old covenant up there. Sacrifice and offerings to take away our sins. But God says sacrifices and offerings were not desired by God. And Jesus effectively saying in this, you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. God was dissatisfied with conventional sacrificial offerings. All the animals, thousands of them, cows, goats, sheep, that were sacrificed to take away the sin of the Jewish people. But he was dissatisfied because they failed to express a corresponding desire to obey his will. What God wanted were people who would obey his will, not the slaughter of masses of animals. And when the writer of Hebrews states in that, if you take it back, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, in burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure, his Jewish hearers would have heard the echo of Psalm 40, verse 5 to 8. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. You see, the offering that God finds acceptable is devotion from the heart. And that's the best advice we can give Matt today on his baptism. Devotion from the heart to God. Sacrifices in themselves are powerless to please God. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. Sacrifices fail to secure a proper relationship between God and his people. So Psalm 40 prophetically refers to a speaker who recognizes his body as the gift God has prepared to be the means by which the divine will may be accomplished. And the writer of Hebrews is going back and harking back to that earlier reference when he goes on to recognize Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God who became man in order to fulfill the divine purpose for you and me, for the human family. See, I have come to do your will. Can I have the next one, please? See, I have come to do your will, O God. Jesus entered the world to do the will of God. And God prepared a human body for him, the baby Jesus. Why? To show the contrast between the ineffective sacrifice of animals and the personal offering of Christ's own body as the one complete, effective, sufficient sacrifice. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified. This is the end of it, Sarah. By God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. It's great news, folk. Your sins past, your sins present, your sins future are forgiven. not a license to sin, but you know that if you stumble in future, you are forgiven. You can pick yourself up, Lord, I'm sorry, I let you down. But know that he still sees you as his son. Father still embraces you. You're not objectionable to him. You don't need to purify yourself again because Jesus paid the price once and for all. The sufficient sacrifice of Christ in obedience to the will of God created the new situation for us as believers in which every obstacle to fellowship with God has been effectively removed. That's why you can say, Daddy, he's my daddy. He's a good, good father we sing about. Well, what does this mean for you and for me? Well, it's the new covenant, the better covenant, that God will not remember sins and misdeeds any longer because Jesus has put them away through his death once and for all time. And if we had read further in the reading from Hebrews 10, it would sum it up this way. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until all his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. That's you. By a single offering. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. He also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. When we put to death the old self through inviting Jesus to be Lord of our lives, and Matt has done that today through his baptism in water and the Spirit, we acknowledge that Christ's death is the effective sin offering that washes away all our sins, that removes every obstacle to the service of God. Now, I don't know what obstacle might still be in your life. It might be sin, guilt, shame, pride, independence. It may be a sense of inadequacy. None of these can or should stop us from acting on what God has written on our hearts once we've submitted to Jesus. Our task, like Matt's, is to grab the truth of what Jesus has done for us, that we are God's son, God's daughter, with full access to him. And like Jesus, say to our Father, see God, I have come to do your will. That's what Elizabeth was acknowledging when she says to Mary in our gospel reading, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed is she who believed. Because remember what Mary said in response to the news from the angel Gabriel. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. See, God, I've come to do your will. That's what Mary was saying. See, God, I have come. I am ready to do your will. Are we ready, brothers and sisters, to do his will? It's not just about coming to church on Sunday. It's about living each day fully for him. Spending time with him, saying, Lord, what is your will for me today? Who in the office, in my workplace, in college, am I going to interact with? What words do you want me to have for them? See, God, I have come to do your will. See, God, I have come to do your will. Let's pray. Abba, if we're honest, we find it difficult because all too often we live lives around our own agenda. We think we've got the job we wanted, instead of recognizing that you've placed us there as an opportunity to spread the good news, to live out the faith. So help each one of us, Lord, daily to ask ourselves that question. God, Father God, what is your will for me today? Use me to extend your kingdom. So that when I stand before Jesus in glory and he says to me, what have you done? I can answer truthfully, see God, I have come to do your will and have done it. And I stand before you now. Father, we need your Holy Spirit to encourage us daily to live that out. But help each one of us to own that statement for ourselves. See, God, I have come to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.